Good afternoon, Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington, Spokane Valley, deep in the heart of God's country in the American readout, the staging area for freedom and liberty, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And this is the year we take our freedom back, because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. But we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as James 4:17 admonishes us, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And interesting that that is kind of a mantra all year this year, especially with Republican leadership and Democrat leadership. And folks, if we're going to be Americans, we need to stand up and we need to fight. And we're going to be talking about that later in the show today. And I'm going to tell you, you should be encouraged, because what we saw happen up in Priest River, Idaho, the spirit of 76 was alive and well. And when the people stood, the government backed down. And now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front, as we've been talking about, Iran ordering 150 fighter jets from China. These are J-10 fighter jets, Israeli technology, after they ordered last month some refueling planes. Wonder what they're going to do with those. But not to stop there, they're also planning missile tests, and this is all after the supposed nuclear deal. But on top of that, if we need an exclamation mark, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei released a 416-page guide to destroying Israel and railing against the United States, just in case y'all weren't clear on where the Iranians stood with the United States, again, despite the nuclear deal. Oh, and by the way, the Russians decided to drop by for the party, and now they have warships docking in Iran. It can't really get much clearer, but I got to tell you something. What is happening right now with the administration in Washington, D.C., is our president is setting us up for a war with Iran. If not a war with Russia. If we had a truly good Middle East foreign policy, none of this stuff would be happening right now. Things would be calm, but it's not. The Saudi Arabians, the Egyptians, and the UAE have invaded Yemen, did one of the largest amphibious landings in recent history. Not really even seeing it in the news. Tanks, everything coming into Aden, Yemen. But the Middle East is stable. Oh, and we have all the things going on in Syria. But understand, and I think that Joel Skousen is correct on this, they need to take Syria out before there's a move on Iran. So just keep watching both of those things. And now the United States is actually weighing in on the ground in Syria. Now, when I say on the ground, they're never going to admit they have troops on the ground. But if you have jets and you have fighter planes and you have bombers dropping munitions on Syrian rebels, somebody is calling in those targets. Just always keep that in mind. On the national front, Homeland Security is shifting funds away from immigration officers. And this is just after the report yesterday on Breitbart that illegals account for 30%. I'm going to say that number again, 30% of the murders in many states. And this is also after President Obama is now saying he's going to give amnesty to 9.6 million more illegals. There's a reason we had a process and a reason we have a process put in place for people to legally immigrate to this country. There's a reason for it. So we don't get criminals coming into the country. So we don't get communicable diseases spread in the country. It's a matter of national security. It's one of the things, actually, that the national government is supposed to be doing according to the Constitution. And you know, some people are going to try to make this about race, too. And I want to just say simply this, that there are not just Hispanic people coming across the southern border. There are what are called OTMs, and that is a term of parlance down there in the Southwest United States. But these are other nationalities crossing the border from Pakistan, Egypt, Afghanistan, Iraq, and on and on and on. It's not just folks coming from South and Central America. It's folks coming from the Middle East to South and Central America and then coming across the border. This is, and if anybody tries to downplay this, if anybody tries to say, oh, that's not a big deal, talk to the folks down there on the border themselves. Talk to the ranchers and the legislators, the law enforcement officers. We are setting ourselves up for a big problem. And this is despite the fact that I think the agenda here is to get more votes to the Democrat Party. Let's just be blunt about what this is about. And we're putting our entire country in jeopardy. How selfish is that? And we're eviscerating the rule of law. Because what law do I get to break today if the government doesn't get to enforce the laws they're supposed to? What law do we get to break today? And the problem is this type of thing builds resentment between immigrant communities, because the folks that came here legally are resenting the folks that are cutting in line and going through this process of completely evading the system and then getting signed up on welfare and benefits, etc., and having no accountability for it. After these guys, the folks that came here legally waited in line for 3 years, went through all the interviews, went through the health screening tests. And unbelievably, the city of Spokane has the people that are trying to make Spokane a sanctuary city. How about we have a sanctuary for the rule of law? Hey, better yet, how about we have a sanctuary for the right to bear arms? My goodness. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Down is up. Up is down. I think there was a book that told us about that happening. Probably the Bible, right? Unbelievable. And then we have Planned Parenthood maximizing profits on body parts. Defunding Planned Parenthood failed in the Senate. And I'm blaming Republican leadership. I am coming out and blaming Republican leadership for that. They could make sure they get this stuff passed. Don't let them fool you. They have the votes to do it. They just don't have the will. And the fact that Planned Parenthood is still receiving taxpayer dollars after all of the fraud investigations, after all of these videos coming out showing something that is so horrible. People at the end of World War II said, we will never let this happen again. Folks, it is happening again in America today. And our leaders need to do something about it instead of talking about it. And it's not just Planned Parenthood. There are so many things that are eviscerating our rights on a daily basis, and they're not doing anything. Folks, we need to hold our leaders directly, personally responsible for not defunding Planned Parenthood. They had the chance here in Washington State to put their votes on a recorded roll call to defund Planned Parenthood a few months ago. The Freedom Team made sure that that came up for a vote. But they refused to have a roll call and did an oral roll call instead, which means it's not on the record. Folks, our leaders know better. Do not let them say, I didn't know. It's a little more complicated than that. No, it's not. We're talking about the systematic destruction of our fellow human beings. We're talking about the fact we will be held accountable for where we stood in this moment. We will be judged by the lens of history and by Almighty God for what we did in this moment. And if we think we're better, if we think we have the moral high ground in this country and we still allow this practice to go on, we don't have the moral high ground anymore. We do not have it. This is no different than what Dr. Joseph Mengele did in the camps in Germany. No different at all. Experimenting on babies, ripping them apart so that those body parts can be experimented on and used for commercial purposes is absolutely abominable. And some people say, well, that's radical. You know, what about women's rights? Look, I have challenged people on this, and I'm gonna go through a couple things real quick. The body inside your body is not your body. And if you get to decide when constitutional rights attach, then where does it end? Who gets to decide it? It has to attach at conception. And too many leaders are afraid to talk about this issue. This is life or death, folks. This should be the issue we're talking about, because we get the life issue wrong, we get every other issue wrong. And then you got folks who will say, well, Matt, you don't understand. We need to take this from a libertarian point of view. And I simply ask them, you know, libertarians especially, because I have many friends that are libertarians, and I ask them, what do you think about the principle of non-oppression, non-aggression? Well, I agree with that. Well, don't you think it is oppressive and aggressive to reach in and rip a human being, a fellow human being, apart? And they will say, never thought of it that way. Then they'll say, Matt, you just don't understand that if you allow these babies to grow up, they'll be growing up in poverty. And that's a dangerous argument and dangerous statement to make, because that would also justify infanticide, or when babies are born, then killing them because they're going to be growing up in that situation. You can't go there. That's not what America's about. That's not what Christians are about. It's just, it's disheartening we have leaders that, in this country, that won't do the right thing. And that's where James 4:17 comes from, I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Also on the national front, Ferguson in a state of emergency again. Looting, violence, on the anniversary of looting and violence. State of emergency in a major American city. And for many of you that have talked to me privately, you will know that that was predicted in a book called When the Almond Tree Blossoms. Also, on the national front, and also kind of on the international front as well, but the Chinese devalued their currency by 1.9% overnight. Not really hearing a lot about that, but it happened. The Chinese devalued their currency. Why? Well, they're trying to do basically an internal reset because of everything that's been going on. They had bubbles there. Folks, that is going to affect America. But it also sets an interesting precedent that countries can devalue overnight. Keep that in mind as we talk about the economy in the near future. On the regional front, Priest River, Idaho, going to give you an update of what's going on there. For those of you that have been out of the loop or not paying attention to what's going on in the news, we had a veteran who was sent a letter that he lost his firearms rights, was deemed incompetent by the VA. This is by a doctor that evaluated him 8 months ago, never did a follow-up evaluation until yesterday after the protesters came up there. Never did a follow-up until yesterday. Guy's totally lucid, capable of handling his own financial affairs, walking around, rattling off phone numbers from memory. And the VA, 2 days after they sent that letter, called him up and said, hey, we want to schedule an appointment to come to your house. The morning they were scheduled to come to his house, we had a phone call with the head of the Veterans Services, or one of the directors of Veterans Services, very high up in Idaho. And this gentleman said if he's worried about his guns, then he should move them to the shed and not wear one on his hip. So he's implying that if the VA or the VSO guy shows up there, that they will report any firearms to local law enforcement for confiscation because the guy's in violation of the Brady Law if he has these firearms. Now, by the way, there was no appeal. There was no process whatsoever for him. He just had his rights taken away from a bureaucrat. And we're going to be talking about that, not only with firearms, but also with property. This happens all the time. No due process, no jury trial, nothing taken away by a bureaucrat. The Patriots showed up there. The sheriff stood on the right side. And now, yesterday, the doctor does a follow-up and says, oh, he's totally fine, totally able to handle his affairs. And the VA is looking at making sure that he's deemed competent again. Folks, this should never have happened in the first place, and it's happening all over the country. Beware. Watch out for it happening. And if you've got a story of your own anywhere in eastern Washington, north Idaho, northeast Oregon, get it to Patriot Radio. Get it to me, and we will address this issue wherever it is. Because, folks, the line is here. We need to stop this. These veterans fought and died. Some of them, their friends, died for our rights. And specifically the right to bear arms. And they're trying to take it away from the people that fought for it. Just absolutely amazing that we're even talking about this compared to Planned Parenthood, too, in our country today. My goodness. All right. On the local front, citizens rising up against our local county sheriff. He's an embattled sheriff right now. Scandals, $2 million lawsuit, several dead innocent people, one a pastor killed on his own property. And now citizens are finally saying, we need a citizens oversight committee. And as I understand it, essentially along the lines of like an inquest with a jury. Because this sheriff needs oversight. And that today is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Please pray. And thank you to everybody that has been praying. Go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. Like the page. Share it with your friends and family. Remember, this is a listener-supported show through the Committee to Elect Matt Shea and the campaign. If you have the opportunity, go to VoteShea.com. You can donate there, or you can email me at matt@voteshea.com. It's going to take all of us to support and fund these things because it's expensive to be on the radio. And if you like the broadcast, you like the information that's being put out, especially with the experts we have on every week, please feel free to support it. And you know, thank you to everybody that has also been sending in checks already and supporting. God bless you all. Thank you for doing that. And that brings us to another expert, a man who literally broke Agenda 21, made it a household word, educated people across the country, stopped ICLEI in its tracks. My good friend Tom DeWeese, the president of American Policy Center. Tom, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Matt. Glad to be with you.
Wow, you're doing a lot of great work. I mean, you know, Agenda 21, I remember when we first talked about this and people were, oh, it's a conspiracy. Now, you know, the Republican Party has officially come out against it in the platform. Man, you have done a lot in just, what, 5-6 years? My goodness.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been lucky. As we were fighting this thing for about 18 years, mostly in the open areas of the West with ranchers and timber people, mining people, they knew what was going on, and they could talk it part and parcel because they were the first targets. People in the cities weren't feeling it. But about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, people began to see it. They began to catch it. And I think part of that's because we held 10 national conferences on it, our Freedom 21 conferences, and we, you know, were training people. I don't think we even realized how well we were training people then. And they were starting to work in the cities and make some noise. But it really exploded along about 2010. So we used to have 3 or 4 of us talking about it across the country. Now there are hundreds of people who are giving presentations on it, who are standing up and being activists in the fight. Yeah.
Well, I love the fact that you have put together simple materials, 1-2 pagers, made it really simple to follow this. And I love specifically the definition of private property that you use, because it actually came from somebody right here in Washington State.
Yeah, it's the best I found. And I was told by a Constitution expert that it was very much based on James Madison's definition of it all. So, you know, that's good to know that's where Justice Sanders found it. Yeah.
Yeah, and... Well, because people have been using it all over the country because, you know, people say you have to start by defining your terms. The problem is, this is the left and the people that are promoting Agenda 21 and ICLEI and all these other organizations, they redefine terms on us, and we don't fight back and say, no, that's not what that means. Here is what private property indeed does mean.
Yeah, and it's been difficult as I mean, putting together, you know, some of the documents, some of the things we're getting ready to send out. language, it's really hard. You're saying things that you hear every day, like something is legally deeded and so forth, and you find out, well, you got to be careful how you say that, because if you just say it's legally deeded, well, that means that a law was passed somewhere. Now you got to check and see what that law says. Does that match with what you're saying here? However, if you say it's lawfully done, and that goes back to the Magna Carta, that goes back to natural law. It's all the way you say it, and I'm getting a real lesson on this as we're going along to make sure we're saying things properly and making our arguments proper. Because if we do it properly, we win. If we don't, then we get tied up in their whole tangled web, and we get our tongues twisted and tied, and we get wrapped up in things that we don't mean to be wrapped up in. You and I understand what we mean by private property rights, but a lot of people across the country don't, and that's where we start losing battles.
It is where we start losing battles, and I want to go ahead and read this full quote because I love it. I love it. And it says this. This is from Justice Richard Sanders, actually a hero of mine on the Supreme Court here in Washington State. And he wrote this in December of 1997. And here's what he wrote. Property in a thing consists not merely in its ownership and possession, but in the unrestricted right of use, enjoyment, and disposal. Anything which destroys any of the elements of property, to that extent, destroys the property itself. The substantial value of property lies in its use. If the right to use be denied, the value of the property is annihilated and ownership is rendered a barren right. Wow. Wow. Is that happening in America, Tom?
Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly right. When you've got county commission or a planning board or whatever it is that comes out with their rules on what you can do on your property, they have rendered it a barren right. Oh, yeah, you still own your property. You have the right to pay the taxes and the mortgage. Everything else will decide for the public good. And, you know, that's what we end up with. And that's exactly what he's saying here. And the key word in this description, in this definition, is unrestricted use. Let me tell you, I took this definition to some activists in Oklahoma last year who wanted to put together a bill, and I suggested that they go at it, to protect private property rights, and I gave them this definition. Unfortunately, the state rep who put it together only used the first sentence, and he didn't do the rest of the stuff that described, you know, more definition of what we're talking about. And the bill got through the House, and it got through a Senate committee. As it was headed to the Senate floor, that's when the opposition found it, and they went berserk over it, and they went into every community in Oklahoma, to the city councils and the county commissioners, and they picked up on this exclusive or unrestricted right of use, and they said, this means you won't have a job anymore. This means anybody can put a stinky old pig farm next door to your house if you want them to, or if they want to do that. And on and on. The hysteria that they blew out got all these communities to come out against the bill, and, of course, they were able to kill it. And that's just what they'll do. They'll make up anything as they go along. And unrestricted right of use. There are... We've had, since the beginning of time, in human communities, we've had nuisance laws. If somebody does something that is going to damage you, they've got a bright light that shines in your eyes at night when you're trying to sleep, they've got loud music playing, they've got a stinky old pig farm, whatever, there are ways to deal with that. But what they try to do here is put a one-size-fits-all noose around our neck, a straitjacket, and everybody, and maybe kind of, maybe sort of, this might happen, so we got to make sure it doesn't. You know what? Most times when a neighbor's got something like a loud noise or a bright light or something, you can walk over and say, Charlie, can you turn the light off at night? Oh, sorry, man, I didn't know. You can settle a lot of things this way. But when government makes an overall regulation like that, you got no say in what happens, and you just lost your right of property.
Well, and they keep upholding these things, too, where essentially if it doesn't render it completely economically non-viable, it's okay to do that. So you could have 95% of your use of your land taken away through some bureaucratic edict, and there's not really a lot you can do. And it's crazy. I mean, and ranchers know this because they'll get the orders from DOE to put all these fences up around, you know, riparian areas so their cattle can't go. They're effectively depriving them of huge swaths of their property.
Yeah. And one of the reasons, and this is one of the real danger of the whole Agenda 21 operation as it's being put in place, is it's changing our system of government. And where you used to be able to go to your local representatives and talk to them, and person to person, particularly your city councilman, your next door neighbor, whatever, but now, through the Agenda 21 sustainable development policies that are driven by these massive grants and the creation of non-elected regional councils and boards and everything that goes with that, you don't have that ability anymore. And these non-elected bureaucrats don't care what your problem is. They've got a rule book in front of them. And so government is getting, you know, more and more difficult to deal with, and people give up because what are you going to do? How can you go around it? You don't even know who to talk to. And it's all driven by these non-elected boards and the grant money that fuels it. And the grant money comes with strings attached, and you may have good people in city council who are, they just want to repair, you know, the street on, you know, Main Street down the middle of town. But they get a grant, a federal grant from HUD, and it comes with all these strings attached that now they've got to put in bike paths, they've got to use certain kinds of materials, they've got to have traffic calming, which means you put speed bumps in the middle of the street so you can't drive more than a mile an hour. And all this makes it very inconvenient to drive, and the whole purpose of that is to change your system and get you out of your car and get you walking where you want to go or taking public transportation. And, you know, it's all a set policy ready. They put that in place, but they pretend that it's something else. But that's the reason we're fighting it.
It is, and I love it. You have a quote on one of your materials, and it just sums everything up. If you don't have the right to own and control property, then you are property. That was by Wayne Hage, a rancher down in Nevada I've brought up on the show many times before. But, Tom, I thought Agenda 21 was just a conspiracy theory. They can't possibly be this organized and do this.
I hear it every day. Let me tell you something. First of all, I've got a report here that was written in 1997. It's a report from the United States of America to the United Nations, and it says right on the cover, this is a report on the progress being made on implementing Agenda 21. We've got a Federal Register report on the EPA's Challenge Grant Program from 1998. It says this is also implementation of Agenda 21. I've got video on my website of Nancy Pelosi in 1992 introducing a resolution in support of Agenda 21 in Congress. And, in every one of these cases, they called it a comprehensive blueprint. And they were quite proud of this as they went along until the early, let's say that 2004, 2005, around there, what changed? They suddenly started to deny it exists. What changed was we started to tell people what it was, and they started to listen. And suddenly, this comprehensive blueprint that was going to change human society became, never heard of it. What are you talking about? A conspiracy theory. Trouble is, we've got the documents that show that that wasn't the case, but that's what they do. This is, you know, where's the last time we heard, an entire group like this go completely dumb and never have any idea what you're talking about? Last year, when Jonathan Gruber suddenly popped up on Obamacare with videos saying we're all stupid, all of a sudden Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Barack Obama said, never heard of him. He had no influence in any of this. You know, total lie, but that's what they do. And we've been Gruberized for years.
We have been. One of my favorite quotes on Agenda 21 is somebody said in our caucus, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory, you know. And one of the representatives said, oh, I'm sorry, are you talking about the 300-page, 30-chapter Agenda for the 21st Century, published by da-da-da-da. they had nothing to say. You know, here it is in black and white. You know, and people say, too, that, oh, Tom, you're blowing this way out of proportion. This really doesn't affect us locally. It can't possibly affect us locally. And yet we're seeing it. Unfortunately, in my state, we have a little enclave of liberalism that is causing us a lot of problems. But we're seeing it in Seattle with them banning suburban housing.
Yeah. Let me just back up what you were just saying. Last year, the Southern Poverty Law Center put out yet another hit piece on us with a big report on Agenda 21 being a conspiracy theory, and it said right in there, quote, Agenda 21 is not a treaty. It has no force of law, no enforcement mechanism, no penalties, and no significant funding. It is not even a top-down recommendation seeking instead to encourage communities around the world to come up with their own solutions to overpopulation, pollution, poverty, and resource depletion. It is a feel-good guide that cannot force anyone anywhere to do anything at all, end quote. But they had 50,000 delegates from all over the world and 179 heads of state to sign on to it. I thought that was pretty important. They didn't, I guess.
Yeah, apparently they didn't. And ultimately they want to shut down. And I've seen it. When I very first got into the legislature, there was a bill that came in. It's a 32-page bill, and I read the bills. And in the bill, it had rent control. It had transit-oriented development. It had all of these things because they ultimately want to get people out of their cars, walking everywhere, and they ultimately don't want to have suburbs anymore. They don't want to have these nice single-family houses with a little bit of acreage or a yard or something. They don't want to have any of that. So they want to have actually people stacked and packed on top of each other.
What they do with, you know, of course, the term is smart growth. And they tell us this is just a wonderful way to put a community together, a smart way to build for the future, that we all are happy and healthy and having wonderful hugs with our neighbors. We play with our children in this, on the, you know, out front and our neighbors, and we ride our bicycle. That's healthy, you know, all that. They paint all these beautiful pictures of kind of like an 18th century setting with 21st century modern technology. So we have the best of all worlds. The problem is, as they do smart growth, they put a line around the city, and they say no growth can take place outside of this area. And, what you do then, now you've got a specific area that does not grow. What happens when the population does? Then they have to start raising density figures. This happened in Portland. It's happening in Seattle right now. And eventually what you do is you don't have room to have single-family suburban homes. You need apartment buildings. Pretty soon it keeps going up. Now those two- and three- or four-story apartment buildings aren't enough. Now you need the high-rise stack and pack because the only place you can go is up. And so that's what they're doing. So they create these artificial lines around it. They call it urban sprawl. Let me tell you something. That urban sprawl there, why do we leave cities? We leave cities because they are inefficient, they are expensive, they're full of drugs, they're full of violence, and we want to get away from that. And people go out into the suburbs, and they buy a home in a neighborhood. If you could put a camera on the front door as that family enters their new home for the very first time, you will see smiles all around. This is what they call evil, and that's what they want to stop. But this is people trying to escape these horrible places and have a choice in their life of how they want to live. This is what they call evil.
It is, and ultimately, if you follow this to its logical conclusion, what you're really building are nice, fancy places where we can control people, which otherwise are known as prisons. And, you know, to be that blunt, it's really what's going on. And it's interesting, too, and the National Association of Realtors, you know, it seems just not ironic, it just seems suicidal that they would be endorsing smart growth. Because ultimately, it's going to put them all out of business. I mean, it's just incredible to me.
Yeah, they will have nothing left to sell, but they are one of the major proponents of smart growth today. They are, there's grant money available. They're promoting it. They're promoting training to realtors and so forth. I wrote an article a few months ago. I called it Private Property Rights and Socialism Don't Mix. And my purpose was to alert realtors across the country that their own association is trying to strangle them, to give them nothing left to sell. And some realtors have begun to take up that message, and I know for a fact that the National Association of Realtors is very much aware of that article. I'm getting ready to do a second one. It's going to more boldly call for realtors to take action. You know, they're afraid of that because this, you know, how can they argue this, that what you have now are people who they can't afford to buy anything anymore, so they're renting. The millennials are infamous for this now. They're renting instead of buying. And so what is it that realtors are going to have left to sell? Any realtor who's listening, listen. You are going to put – your own association is going to put you out of business with programs like this that are completely the opposite of what you should be doing. Who should be – you have ads coming from the National Association of Realtors talking about how owning private property is the way that you build the American dream, that you build wealth. This is why the United States of America was able to build such wealth and such a standard of living in such a short period of time over ancient countries, because we had the ability to own and control our own private property. 60% of the businesses in this country were started by people using equity in their private property, mom and pop businesses that provide jobs for a majority of people in the country, not big corporations, but these. And what we're seeing now, as we're diminishing private property rights in this country, we are seeing the United States lose freedom, and we're seeing our wealth diminish. The middle class is disappearing, and a big gap between rich and poor, because primarily because of the attack on private property rights, and that is smart growth.
It is smart growth. And a lot
dumb
of folks
growth.
Yeah, exactly, dumb growth. That's what we're going to refer to it, dumb growth. Anytime we see it, that we're going to change it. Everybody listening out there, we're changing the lexicon. It's dumb growth. You know, when I first saw some of this stuff, it was so staggering as to be almost ridiculous. The Y2Y Yellowstone to Yukon, where they were going to, you know, pack all these folks into this very narrow band and have total restriction on any sort of new development, anything in that band. And then also, when I found out about something called apodments in Seattle, these are these, it's like an apartment, but it's even smaller. It's about the size or smaller of a dorm room that people would just live in their entire lives. And that's what they kind of wanted everybody to live in. It was staggering, but there are so many different ways that Agenda 21 has come in and crept into our lives. One of them is the HUD program as well. And first, I'd like your comment on the apodment, and then second, on the HUD program and how what people can be looking out for to spot Agenda 21 and this taking of our property rights.
Yeah, you know, after the collapse of the economy and the depression in the 1920s, we had Hoovervilles, where people put little sheds up wherever they could find a place to stay, because they had absolutely no money whatsoever to live on. And this is what these podvilles apartments are becoming. And, it's just something to lay your head in at night, and that's enough. That's all you need. When you listen to the proponents of Agenda 21, you will hear them say over and over again two things. One, you must learn to live on less. That's what Agenda 21, that's what the whole sustainable development process is, learn to live on less. That America and all of its wealth and all of its use of energy and all that's got to stop. We got to pull all that back. The other thing, and this was advocated at the Rio Plus 20 conference in 2012, where they were celebrating 20 years of this program that doesn't exist, they were calling for zero economic growth. Put those two things together. That you must learn to live on less, zero economic growth. That is sustainable development. That is what the planners in your community believe in, and that is what all these programs are designed to do, is to put that together. So the thing that goes along with that, if you've got nice neighborhoods, people have worked hard to earn a living and save their money and build a home and get a nice home that begins to build in equity, according to the proponents of sustainable development, that is a social injustice, and that we need to turn that around. We need to stop it. How do we do it? Well, Barack Obama came up with it, and he calls it, I love the name of this program, Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing. That is the new HUD program that they're putting out, and what it is total social engineering, and it is saying that now we need to have racial and ethnic quotas, and along with that goes income level quotas, and that every single neighborhood in America, rich no matter what, has to have a certain quota of ethnic, racial, or income disposition in there. And what this is going to accomplish, it's not going to make the poor or people from ethnic communities richer or better off. It's going to make everybody else equally poor. That's what redistribution of wealth is. That's what this is about. That's social justice. And that is where they're headed with this, to make us all equally poor. And what do they say? Learn to live on less. Zero economic growth. There it is in action.
There it is in action. I also think, you know, people believe that this is not going to really affect them, that this is far off. If we change the president of the United States, that this won't be a big deal in a couple of years. And yet this has been going on throughout several administrations, including Republican administrations, fairly well unabated until you started to acknowledge that it was in existence and started getting the primary source documents out there and educating and teaching people on this. It went unabated for a long period of time. But then it's still continuing forward. Even today, it's still continuing forward. How do we stop this?
Well, you know, the sad thing is that we cannot stop it by, you know, individually by ourselves. That we must organize. We must recognize what is happening here, and that's the hardest part. First of all, why we've had success is that people have begun to feel it. They've begun to see it. And we see so many crazy things happening right now that nothing surprises us anymore. But what we need to do is, first of all, as I've told you several times, I think that what you are doing in the state of Washington is the model for what we need to do. One of the problems we've had, we're learning as we go along. I mean, there's nobody doing anything wrong. You know, the very concerned legislators around the country have looked at these programs, and we got to do something to stop it. And so they put together a bill. This is an anti-Agenda 21 bill. We're going to stop Agenda 21, and we're going to protect property rights. They put this bill together. First of all, they don't define their terms by what they mean. And, you know, how many people, as I said earlier, how many people recognize what property rights are? And they put this bill out there. Alabama did succeed in passing such a bill, and the governor signed it. But these bills have absolutely no teeth to them because the opposition never uses the term Agenda 21. So when they come up with their plan, they go, oh, that's not that. This is just local. And so it doesn't fall under the bill. And so we end up with no teeth in it, so nothing happens. We've had Tennessee, we've had Missouri, we've had several other states that have tried to pass such laws. And we're just learning as we go along. And what I'm seeing is that we need to have a legislative agenda that goes at 1,000 pinpricks after it. Because if you put one bill together, first of all, the opposition puts all of its forces against that one bill and crushes it. But if you come at them, as you've done, 60 bills over here, 50 bills over there, and all of them designed to cut back on the size, power, growth, and reach of government, then you're able to make some headway. Not everything overnight. One of the problems with our movement is that we want to solve it now. I made phone calls. I wrote a letter. I showed up at a rally. Nothing happened. Nothing's going to change this. That is absolutely what they're waiting for us to do. Go home. And then they come out and they do whatever they want to do. What we got to do is, first of all, not go home, but we need to have a legislative plan. and then have activists who are also taught how to support the legislators who put in that legislative plan so that we make sure we get it passed, we build support for it. The worst thing we can do is ask a legislator to do something like this and let him go do it by himself, and he gets his head chopped off. He's not going to do it again. So we need to give him support. So this is what we're working towards. I'm working now to put together a training seminar that will bring together legislators, city councilmen, county commissioners that are already working with us, and they'll go in one room and work on language for a legislative plan that has teeth to it. And meanwhile, in the other room are selected activists from all over the country that are already successful in what they do, learning how to do precinct organization, how to stand up for in their own communities against these policies, and how to support what those legislators are doing in the other room when they introduce it, pulling it all together and putting together a mighty fist all over the country in attacks in state legislatures, in city councils, and county commissions with effective language and effective activism.
So you have a training seminar. You're trying to get up and running. You're trying to get it all across the country. And by the way, I had somebody Facebook comment, oh, this is just a scam. Tom, you have put together the best training on property rights there is in the country. I've seen your stuff make a larger impact on communities than anything else. In fact, you were the reason that we got rid of ICLEI and kicked it out of the city of Spokane. I mean, Spokane Valley, everybody's like, yeah, we kick ICLEI out of Spokane Valley. No, everybody knows that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But Spokane, it happened because of the information you put out.
Yeah, that was an interesting night. I spoke at a Lincoln Day dinner there. And it was funny because before, you know, the Lincoln Day dinner, you have all the Republican elected people there. They're up on the stage and they're thumping their chest and telling how great they are. And as they introduced me, they were all gone. Every one of them had left. But I had a couple hundred people left, and I started telling them about ICLEI and Agenda 21 and all that. Well, there were a couple of people from that audience the next Monday went to city council and started asking questions. And the mayor admitted, yeah, we're a member of ICLEI. Yes, this is happening. That's happening. It just so happened that night the ICLEI was introducing the visioning plan that they had been working on for Spokane. And here was everything I just told him being introduced into the city council that night. So
perfect timing. The Lord's timing. I love it. You know, and that's how we can win, because then what happened after that is you had principled city council members, and then you had the people backing them, and sure enough, we could get kicked out. And that stands true and holds true for not just city level, but county level and state level as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And this is why I say you don't do this alone. We've come up with various tools that we have on our website at AmericanPolicy.org that you can use. We've got a resolution for the protection of citizens' property rights. I teach people how to use that to go in if you've got your first of all this document says is if they're going to talk about something in these government councils that's going to affect your property, they'll bring you into the discussion. If they decide to go ahead with that plan, then they're going to make arrangements to pay you for any property that you lose. And the third thing it says is if they do, well, first of all, the agents of these planners and so forth can't just walk on your property willy-nilly without you giving them permission. That's how radical this document is. So you go into city council and you say, gentlemen, you get that 3 minutes that you can, while they're sitting on high, that you can actually approach them. And you just say, you know, I just have a question for you. As you're bringing these plans and these planners into the community, what guarantees do I have you'll protect my private property rights? I guarantee you. They will sit there to a person and say, oh, of course we will. Hey, I'm a property owner too. You just smile and say, well, I'm really happy to hear you say that, but gentlemen, I'd like to have it in writing, please. And you put out this resolution. I guarantee you they will not sign it, because what you don't see with those representatives of you, it's supposed to be your representatives, is this army of non-governmental organizations, planners, self-proclaimed stakeholders, state organizations, national organizations like the National Governors Association, the National Council, Conference of Mayors, all these guys are standing behind them, and they're saying, don't listen to that guy. He's nuts. He's a conspiracy theorist. And you've just asked them one simple question, and they know they cannot implement these plans unless they have diminished private property rights, and they know if they sign that document, then they can't implement these plans. And the fact that they won't sign it, you don't do it alone. You get the people to start asking the most radical question in the English language, which is, why? And then you start a campaign to run them out of office. And that's what it's really designed to do. You show up the next time with 25 people with signs with their pictures on it saying, why won't you protect my property rights, and begin a campaign. That's what it's designed to do, rabble rouse.
If people want to go to get more information about American Policy Center, get involved, learn about the training seminar, support you, where can they go?
AmericanPolicy.org. The resolution is right there on the front page, and in our store, we've got all kinds of items there, booklets and kits and manuals and so forth on what to do, so you can get that. And we've got an archive of articles I've written on this over the last 15 or so years, and you can get those and get educated on it all. It's all there.
So as people are listening to this, they want to do something tangible. They want to do something immediately. They want to, they want to get involved. A lot of people I've been meeting lately, honestly, have said, I've had enough. What do I do? So if you were going to give somebody three things to do right now, getting off the couch, what would they be?
Well, first of all, stop looking at your feet in defeat. Looking down and saying, we can't beat them. Yes, we can. They're scared to death of us. We've got ICLEI out of 150-plus cities in America in the last few years. They're terrified of us. Take that, first of all. Second of all, educate yourself and know what you're talking about. But get that resolution and take it into your city council and ask them exactly as I just said. Those instructions are on the website. Just, ask them to sign it and see what happens. And the other thing too, you're upset about something. What is it you're upset about? Don't just say Agenda 21, United Nations. Look at the actual policy you're upset about, and why are you upset about it? What's it doing? Who's the victim of that program? Is it everybody in the community, or is it just a little section of town or whatever? Figure that out. And if it's just a little section of town, go to those people and say, hey, you know what they're doing? It's going to affect you. You can begin to get people on your side. You need to get a cadre of people, 10, 15, 20 people, that you can begin to organize together with and do these things. But you can make an impact. You don't have to have a whole city. Just a few people. They're scared to death of you if you do that.
Wow. They are scared to death of you. And there's not much more you can say than that. Just get involved, follow steps, and we're going to make this thing happen. Private property rights will be protected. Private property rights will be restored in America. And one final question I have for you. There has been a lot of talk about civil disobedience. It happened down at the Bundy Ranch. It happened up in North Idaho here last week, and it was successful. The government backed down. What's your take on the civil disobedience issue here in the next couple minutes we got left?
I think we have to stand up and do that. And frankly, these people are cockroaches. And anytime, if you hadn't been there in Idaho, if you hadn't been there at the Bundy Ranch, they would have walked right over those people, and there would have been no justice as you ended up with. And you've got to stand up. You've got to. They're afraid. They're more afraid of us, I think, than we are of them. And I do not advocate violence in any way, shape, or form. But standing up and saying, no, enough is enough, and doing it in strong numbers, we've seen them back down time and again. Have we seen them open fire? No. They back off because they know when they do that, they're in more trouble than we are.
So, Tom DeWeese, American Policy Center, thank you, my friend, for joining me on Patriot Radio today. I just really appreciate everything you're doing in the fight for freedom and liberty. You've been doing this for more years than you probably wanted to, but you were talking about Agenda 21 before it was cool, and you really set the stage. Thank you, my friend. You really encouraged me, and I hope you've encouraged all the listeners out there today as well.
Well, Matt, I can't say it enough. I deeply appreciate how you've taken that information and gone with it and what you've done. And we get this training seminar together, these other things. We're going to change this fight, and we're going to charge.
Amen. Well, we'll have you on again. And I hope to see you sometime soon here in the next few months, and we can talk about some other strategies that are brewing out there as well. But boy, keep up the good fight. And again, Tom DeWeese, American Policy Center, thanks for being on Patriot Radio today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. So you heard it. And if you haven't seen it, you can go on the Patriot Radio Facebook page. I just posted it up there, link to his site, and an action letter that he's had there. Tom has put together training, all the primary source documents, quotes, all the stuff you need to refute the kind of uneducated, unread arguments of your friends that this stuff doesn't exist or it's some conspiracy theory or something like that. You know, anybody that tells you that, especially about Agenda 21, you can immediately know they have no credibility because A, they haven't read about it. They haven't read the 300-page, 30-chapter document. And B, a lot of times they're just saying it because they don't want to know the truth, because if they know the truth, they got to do something about it. But if you want to hear the stories, go talk to the ranchers, go talk to the farmers, go talk to the miners, go talk to the loggers. Ask them if they know what Agenda 21 is and what it has done. Shut down jobs, taken completely away private property rights. And the way to fight it is at the local level. That's the way we're going to restore a God-honoring constitutional republic, is at the local levels, fighting this everywhere it comes up at the local level. And we've effectively kicked Ickley out of Spokane County, which is good. But we got to go a few steps further. We have got to support legislation that is going to restore private property rights. The great definition I've heard of it broke down is simply this. Private property rights means title, your ability to control, your ability to use, and your ability to dispose. If you don't have all four of those, you don't truly have private property. And if you apply that to what's going on in America today, especially what the bureaucrats are doing, from Department of Ecology to everybody else, we're losing, and in some cases, we have lost private property rights. And we have to restore them if we want to restore a constitutional republic. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me again on Patriot Radio today. Remember to defend freedom locally. May God bless all of you. May make this generation the greatest one.